This is Summer Sound on AM 1450 and KBPS.AM. Right now, we are joined by event manager for Bricks and Minifigs, Jay Naggett. Hello, Jay. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Good morning, Astros.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
How did you become interested in Legos?
I was a Lego kid, for sure, like a lot of people. And I just loved Lego since I was a little kid. Probably the one that did it for me was Lego Bionicle, which some people might be familiar with. That was like a huge thing. They were like these Polynesian robots that Lego like made up a whole storyline for. And so that was a really big thing, was like the storytelling aspect. You had these action figures, but then you could also change them and invent new characters and stuff. So that was probably the hook for me.
They had a lot of customizability.
Yeah, like the role play aspect, like making original characters. Basically was like each kit was like a little character design exercise, and it's really fun to mix and match those. So I was a Lego kid for a long time. And then so probably between 2002 and 2012, that's like the majority of my Lego knowledge. So everything that came out in that decade is a lot of stuff that's very sought after now. A lot of like Star Wars stuff, Lego Bionicle, a lot of themes that people really loved as a kid. So it helps me a lot in my job now that I just grew up during what's kind of considered like the golden era of Lego.
Yeah. So we were wondering, what made you interested in the event manager position? Was it a position that you applied for, or was it something you've earned over time?
So the kind of like path I took to get to where I am now is, the funny thing is, I'm not even a Lego guy.
Oh.
Like, people go to the store and they're like, oh man, your house must just look insane. You must have Legos everywhere.
Her house is Lego.
I'm like, that's what people would assume. But it's way worse than that. Oh. I'm into like crazy Japanese stuff, like 80s, 90s stuff. Retro toys is kind of my,
heck yeah,
my passion. You know, anything that has to do with robots, Gundam, Transformers, all those things, I pretty much base my whole personality on.
Were you ever into the Ninja Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze.
Yes!
That's like one of the best movies of all time.
Yes, I like the fourth or third one. They went to Japan.
The third one.
Yes, that's the
third
one.
When they go back in Turtle, yeah, yes. Turtles in Time.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, so that's one of those things too. There's Ninja Turtles Lego, but only for they could only get the licensing for a little bit. So that's one people look for a lot that are all really expensive now. So hang on to your Ninja Turtles Lego sets or come by the shop and sell them to me. but I was in the restaurant industry for about 10 years.
Oh.
So right out of high school, I wanted to become a chef, and then took 10 years, but I became the chef de cuisine, which is like the head chef, at a pretty high level.
Okay.
And then I was fired.
Oh.
And that's something that I think, especially as like young people, everyone's always telling you like, don't be afraid to fail.
Oh yeah.
You really never know what's going to happen, because it was a shock to me, you know, mm-hmm, when I was fired. Because there was the reason, and you will hear this in your life too, is like, oh, we just need a change in leadership.
Oh.
You know, it's not you. You just don't fit anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
It actually ended up being one of the best things to ever happen to me.
Oh.
Because it set me on a path to get to where I am now. So I was like working in this industry, but my real passion was like toys and the toy industry. And never in a million years would I ever think that I would have an opportunity to work in the toy industry.
Mm-hmm.
But through the store, I was like, I applied there years ago as just like a retail guy, you know, just working the store, sweeping up and stuff. And just because I wanted to work in a toy store. So I'd work like 4 days at the restaurant, I'd work 2 days at the toy store. And this is like right before COVID. Mm-hmm. And then so we all got let go during COVID. And then years later, I lost my job. I'm looking for a new job. So I called the store again. And it had come under new ownership. And I was lucky enough to get a job there as like a retail guy. And as I was working there and sort of like helping out the customers and the community of Lego people in Portland who shop there, I started seeing opportunity for the store to become so much more than a place that than just a shop. I'm a huge admirer of hobby shops. I think it's a really important thing for a community to have a hobby shop, and Portland's really lucky because we have a lot of them.
Yeah.
Tammy's Hobbies over in Beaverton, they've been open for something like 50 years. Billy Galaxy, which is like a retro toy store downtown. Things from Another World, which is like the OG Portland anime shop. There's only one now. There used to be like three or four. But there's just a magic that happens to me when you go to like, you know, a hobby shop or a retro game store or something. Or it could be anything. It could be like the records shop or like the comic book store, or like it could be like the makeup aisle at CVS. But we really, I believe personally, like everyone's entitled to that experience where you go to the place that has the thing you want, or has the thing you like. And, you know, there's like a little, there's a magic that happens there. So I was like, I think this store could be so much more. We could do, we used to just do birthday parties, mm-hmm. but now, you know, we do events. We do a lot of stuff with the Multnomah Athletic Club, a lot of stuff with Movie Madness. Shouts out to Movie Madness and the Hollywood Theater. But we had, we have an awesome stop motion animation program, with a local animator, Erica North. She teaches her class at the shop, and then we take all the kids' work throughout the year. And then we have a big festival at Movie Madness where we screen everything. So really it's just the owner gave us so much agency to just do whatever we want and kind of like choose our mission. So our job is like, yeah, we sell the toys, but we're more trying to be like a facilitator for people that are like working on stuff or who just want to engage with Lego in any way.
Can you tell us just how popular Legos really are?
They're super popular. They've been around like 100 years or something. I think the patent was filed in like the 50s.
Yeah, and I have it hanging on my wall.
Yeah, you have the patent hanging on your wall.
Not the original.
Right, but, sure, but, yeah.
A replica.
We have the same one. It's, it's a huge singular brand that has been able to like change with the times, kind of. It's just this like enduring thing because it's a very specific mode of play. And I think it's less about, I think at our store, what makes us different from some other Lego stores or even other bricks and minifigs is we're not really concerned with the collection aspect of it. We're more interested in the play aspect of it. So like, what can you do with some Lego pieces? You can do quite a lot, actually. You can make a movie, you can make a sculpture, you can make art. It's pretty amazing to see what, like, hardcore Lego people, what they're able to express through using Lego as, like, a medium or as, like, raw materials for art.
Yeah. Well, this kind of makes me think about this. Out of all of the Lego sets, which one would you say is your favorite and why?
My personal favorite sets are ones designed by, there's a Lego designer who, anytime there's, like, a robot, they give it to this one designer. And I think my favorite thing he did was Lego Ideas Voltron, which It was before it was called Lego Ideas, which is where you can like submit, fans can submit like their dream sets and then people vote on it and it could be made into an actual set. It was called Kusu, which is like some kind of Danish word that basically means ideas. Wow. But that set is incredible. It's a fully functioning Lego Voltron, so it splits up into all the lines, it transforms and everything.
I'm looking at it right now. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, what's the, does it say the set number? It should be like 3-something, 300.
21311.
21311 Lego Ideas Voltron.
And it has 2,321 pieces.
Yeah, can you see who designed that? I just want to get, I think it's worth mentioning. I can't believe I forgot.
It is five stars, though.
It's a hilarious name.
Yeah. It doesn't.
So, okay, so there's this guy, Lendi Tayag, who submitted the Voltron.
Okay.
That it was like his idea to do it. But then the guy who, the Lego employee who scaled it for mass production, he's like another Danish guy, but he's really amazing. He does a lot of Ninjago stuff.
Ooh.
There's any Ninjago
fans.
Yeah,
I have a lot of mostly disassembled sets at this point, but a lot of old Ninjago stuff.
Yeah, it's so that's probably my favorite set. There's also another set that I had as a kid called Robo Platoon. It was a little $10 creator set, but Robo Platoon, that's my goat. Lego set.
The designer was Nick Van Slagmat.
Nick Van Slagmat, yes.
That is a cool name.
He only has bangers. No skips on his
Lego
buildography. I don't know what you call it. His catalog.
In your opinion, which Lego set would you say is the most difficult to build?
I think it's not really about size or time when you talk about like how difficult a Lego set is. So there's always this thing where people are shopping with their kids or their grandkids and they're like, oh, you know, you can't get that one because it says like 15 plus or something. And that really is just a marketing thing. I think it's less about accessibility and it's more about like,
Who will like it,
exactly. They're trying to get like adults to see that it's like, oh, it's not a kid's thing. So they'll slap like 18 plus on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which is crazy because I think I've got a couple of those.
Right.
And I'm only 16.
And I always say to people, like, if the kid has done one Lego before in their life, they can pretty much do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't jump right into the Titanic.
Maybe don't do the Captain America shield, though, because that one is placing the same bricks for, like, 5 hours.
Yeah, that one's amazing. That's actually a technique very similar to a technique. There's a guy in town who does something called, he goes by brick bending, and he goes to all of these events, and he can exploit like that little bit of give when you put two Lego pieces together.
I think I've seen the channel on YouTube.
Yeah, he makes all these huge, crazy sculptures. He had one at Director Park, I think, last year, like a solo show. So that's amazing. So the Captain America shield's kind of like that. I would say the most challenging Lego sets for me to repair are like older Technic sets, especially ones that are like motorized or that have like, a lot of the old ones have like pneumatic features. So it's like you're lining up all these like air pumps and actuators and like trying to figure out like how much pressure you need to move this or that. And also figuring out all the weird different engineering in the old Technic sets. Is it belt driven? Is it gears? Like, how do we make this work? What's the ratio? Like, how can I make this like old pickup truck from the 90s like turn on, you know, and drive around? That stuff sometimes takes like days and days. Although one time we did have an employee, they make a set called it's the Roman Colosseum, but as it is now, so it's built to look like it's in like ruins and it's huge. It's like thousands of pieces. One time someone dropped one, and it took a whole like 40-hour work week to put it back together.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I've seen it. They're all small, too.
Yeah.
All the pieces are
just like,
you have
to completely disassemble it because it already looks like it's in ruins. So it's like, it's not like you can like pick a place to to jump off from. It's, you got to start from scratch.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yep. So at the store, we took note that someone built the coin tower entirely out of
Legos. Oh my gosh.
Who made it? We're curious.
That's Max Miyahira. She is amazing. Earlier when we were in the kind of like stew room you guys have, we were just all talking. And I had mentioned that I am not like a hardcore Lego person. I'm just sort of like a facilitator in the Lego business. But you meet people who are like Lego artists. They can think in Lego and they can express ideas in Lego with great finesse, you know? They're like really Lego artists. Max Miyahira, she worked with us. I think she started working in the store when she's 15, and she's around 19 now. So she's an incredible Lego artist and artist in general. Yeah, shouts out Monkey Arts. That's what Max goes by. But yeah, she's incredible. She built the coin tower. She's working on like a 1/300 scale, like Portland.
Oh my goodness!
Wow. Is that for like minifig scale or macro? The real tinies?
I'm not sure. I think she started with the streets. She figured out how to scale the streets and then went from there. But that's, yeah, it's the kind of crazy things people get up to with Lego, especially now that the palette of available Lego parts and pieces is like, it's like 100 times what it used to be. It used to be just little squares, yep. And now it's all sorts of stuff. So yeah, if you want to see the 1/300 scale coin tower, it's at Bricks and Minifigs Portland. It was great. Yeah, I remember when she was sourcing all the, it's a very specific color, the coin tower.
Yeah.
So we had to source this color. It was like, it's like medium nougat, I think it's called.
Yeah, there's light, there's dark.
Yeah. And so you just need buckets of medium nougat to do the coin tower.
This makes me wonder, now that I'm thinking about it, what are your thoughts on the botanicals? So that's like the bonsai trees. Those are like the flowers. What are your thoughts on those?
I like them a lot. It's a great, it's a great crossover thing for people who aren't necessarily like Lego people. And it's a really big seller in our store. We sell a lot of those.
Yes. I thought it was genius that they used the frogs, the pink frogs, as
for the bonsai tree.
Yes. I actually built a bonsai tree. I have the bonsai tree at home.
Same here.
I need to put a glass case over it, but I love the little frogs.
That's like
so
a
smart.
Top 10 seller.
It's so
and
cute.
That's the selling point is you get, not only do you get a tree, but you get a bag of 100 pink frogs.
I think not want pink frogs?
I think that is the only reason why I like I think a lot of people got it was for the pink frogs.
You know, like low-key, a really great part of that set, too, is the little plinth that the bonsai tree sits on.
Yes.
Because you build like this little, it's supposed to look like a like wooden slats, but it's like this little plinth that you just place the bonsai tree on. I just think that's such a nice, that was such a nice touch.
What would you say is your favorite Lego theme, like Lego City or Lego Star Wars?
Favorite Lego theme of all time is this one called Exo-Force, which is pretty low-key. It only lasted for like 3 waves, but it was when they tried to do anime Legos for the first time.
Oh, I have one of these hair pieces.
Yeah, they have crazy anime hair. and then, so again, it's that awesome thing. It's just a bunch of Danish toy designers, and they're like, what is cool that we can, like, Lego-fy? Like, what vibe can we kind of put out there? And so it's, like, the first anime Lego theme, and it's just a bunch of, like, crazy colored hair, like spiky hair anime boys in mech suits. And this was the great thing during the era I was growing up in, was that not only, like, we all know about Lego Ninjago now, Lego Batman, but Lego used to really go all in. Like, they would produce a line of toys, but then there would be like the novels, and there'd be like the TV movie, and then the Flash game, and like all this stuff that it compounds to create this world that people are still, you know, people still visit these worlds today. It's what Lego's all about. So I would, Exo-Force is the GOAT, number one. And then second, probably Lego Bionicle.
Yes.
Which is another one.
Yes, I know I was really into the Star Wars. I don't, now this is where it gets, you know, political, but I don't like Star Wars. But I like the Legos.
How dare you?
I know. Political, I know. But yeah, I don't like Star Wars, but I love building Lego Star Wars. I've had, I think, 20 different Lego little ships, and I've built like so many of them. We have them in a box.
That's the strength of Lego. You don't even like Star Wars, and you have all these Lego Star Wars sets.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, It's just out there. It's for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like Star Wars,
yeah.
you can still build the Star Wars Legos because Lego, you know, makes all kinds of things available for like, anyone who wants to interact with it.
Yep, yep. So, I know we asked about your favorite Lego set, but in addition to that, do you have a favorite Lego minifig, and why?
Oh, that's a good one. Favorite Lego minifig? I should have an answer for this, like, locked and loaded. I think probably... Okay, so... I do, actually. I think my favorite Lego minifig is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
Because I'm not even really a Sonic guy. I love Sonic, but I'm not like, you know, super Sonic head. Because I know some.
Yeah.
But I think that is, it's like symbolic almost. It's like, dude, we're here. We have Lego Sonic. We have a Lego Sonic minifig. And it's a really good one. He's got the dual molded legs, which is like a hot point. Everyone's always in the Lego community. Everyone's always talking about the dual molded legs.
Yeah, I mean, they're nice. They make it much better at like maybe half a cent more cost.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that the Sonic is like symbolic of like this new era of Lego. Another good one is they made Finn and Jake from Adventure Time too.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So that's pretty cool. The licensed stuff. For the unlicensed stuff, probably my top minifig. The Space Police 3 Squid Man. Space Police 3 Squid Man, all of the aliens from Space Police 3, but Squid Man in particular, is a really good one. And also the Galaxy Squad robot sidekicks, any one of those.
Awesome.
I have probably an upcoming Lego purchase. I'm wondering, in your opinion, what is the best Star Wars Ultimate Collector Series set between the Falcon, the Millennium Falcon, the Venator, and the Razor Crest? This is going to be a bit of nerd talk.
Between those three only?
Yeah. I'm trying to decide.
The Razor Crest.
Yeah,
the Razor Crest by a huge margin, because it's a playset.
It is minifigure scale, right?
Yeah, it's minifigure scale, which means there's like little rooms and there's like little guys to do stuff. You get like the Mandalorian's like his little locker where you can clip all his accessories in. I've built one before, UCS Razor Crest, and it's enormous. It's huge, but it is scaled like if a minifig was the size of a real person. That's how big the Razor Crest would be, and it's enormous.
Yep, 6,187.
6,187. Yeah, it's got like a full interior. A lot of the UCS models are like display models.
Yeah,
but personally,
Ultimate Collector Series.
Yeah, the Ultimate Collector Series. But personally, I like the ones that are have a playability.
Yeah,
or some interior detail.
Yeah. I believe the Falcon does have that. I'm not sure about the Venator.
The Falcon does have it too, but the Falcon interiors, there's like, that's probably the most produced.
I mean, it's the most iconic ship in Star Wars of all time.
The bridge is almost, of the Falcon, is like always the same. You have like the hyperdrive in the back, you got like the chess table, you got the little cannons where people sit, and then, of course, you put Han and Chewie in the cockpit.
Yeah.
But the Razor Crest is just a little more interesting, I think, in the way it's laid out. It's like two levels. And
are there any volunteer opportunities at Bricks and Minifigs?
Yeah, so I'm so happy you asked, Jude, because there are many volunteer activities at Bricks and Minifigs. It's my job to get Legos to people who need Lego. So if you're looking for some kind of work experience, we offer that as well, but it's mostly you know, if you have like a robotics team or something, or you have like a neighborhood like little I know in Laurelhurst they have like this, the minifig swaps, like one of those sidewalk libraries. You could just put minifigs in there, or you know, hospitals, schools, they just need like enriching activities, they come see me because it's always free.
That's awesome.
Because we have mountains of Lego. So if you are looking for Lego to do any kind of project, making a stop motion movie, or you're part of any organization or club that even needs a place to meet and wants to do stuff with Legos, you should come see us at the shop. Ask for Jay, and then I can help you out. We're that place for people to go. But there's always stuff, like, you wouldn't believe the amount of processing and sorting it takes to, like, run a store, a Lego store.
Ooh, yeah, there is, like, millions of different types of pieces in all different colors.
Yeah, so we're sorting almost constantly. Washing, sorting. So if you want to do any of that, and you want to volunteer, even as, like, staff for some of the clubs and events we have, definitely. Is it okay if I plug the website? Okay, it's bricksandminifigs, portland.com. Or you can send me an email at portland.events@bricksandminifigs.com. And the sky's the limit with this stuff. You can, with a bucket of Lego, you can, like, pretty much do almost anything. Mm-hmm. You can communicate almost anything. So yeah, anyone wants to sort some Lego, or anyone needs Lego, that's what we're here for.
I was curious because I was looking it up. There's over 400 billion Legos, and yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, there's so many. You can get to the moon and back, like, multiple times with all the Legos that are on Earth.
I'm so sure.
Yeah.
So this last question we have here, it is not Lego related, but okay. It is a question we ask everybody we do interviews with. Now, on this whiteboard here, right, because we have a whiteboard going
okay.
on, for the people who don't know, we ask this to everybody. Do you prefer tacos or burritos? So far, we have burritos with 6 and tacos with 15.
Wow. Tacos.
Give
yes.
me that marker, Grady.
That is the correct marker? Choice.
Thank you. Okay. And this is why Jay is
I'll just add, burritos are great as a vehicle for all kinds of different things.
Oh, yeah.
You can turn almost anything into a burrito.
I had a sushi burrito once. It was
yeah.
weird.
You can't say the same thing about tacos, but tacos, you cannot beat the variety of experience, aroma, of taste, of texture
mm-hmm.
On a taco. If we're talking about just, like, you know, street tacos.
Yeah. This yeah. actually makes me wonder, what kind of meat do you like on the tacos? Do you like carnitas, carne asada?
What? Carnitas.
Mm-hmm.
Carnitas.
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 There you go.
That's the best.
That's awesome.
Shouts out La Quesa Brosa, Williams, North Williams and Shaver. They're the best. They have the best carnitas in the whole city.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's a wrap on today's interview. Again, that was event manager for Bricks and Minifigs, Jay Naggett. Again, thank you for joining us today.
You got it, guys. Go Astros.
Yeah. This is Summer Sound Live on AM 1450, KBPS, and KBPS.AM. Thank you for listening.